Vov Cheshvan, Monday the 4th of November, the Dudley Rosenberg, Psychological Insights Gleaned from Sefer Bereishis.
Right, firstly, the Shia, as all others are at this moment, the Schiz for the Fir Schleimer from Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben Chayla. Hafoch bo, v'hafoch bo, dekula bo. Although Freud, Jung, Winnicott, and others were confident that they were confident that they conceptualized new breakthroughs in psychological thought, anyone who explores will find these ideas within the Torah Kedoshim. I will illustrate various psychological concepts through the prism of the Torah, which clearly predates their ostensible founders. Let us start with defense mechanisms. These are described as psychological strategies that are unconsciously used to protect a person from anxiety or guilt. So they are the defending him. So let's literally start from the beginning. Bereishis, from the beginning. Parshas Bereishis is a treasure chest containing encounters. The first is between the Eibishter and Udom Rishon. Udom has fallen short of his creator's expectations. He is at a low ebb. At this point, he may either be criticized or be built up. He is aware of his sin, but will nonetheless erect a defense mechanism. The Eibishter is Kaviyuchel counseling him as in helping him change with the opening vague question, Ayeko. Rashi analyzes this as a rhetorical question. Of course, Eibishter knew where he was. A therapist might give clients space to divulge as much as they wish to, when they wish to. Udom responds by saying, I'm scared. Vu'iru. This is acknowledged. The Eibishter asks Udom Rishon, why is he scared? Simultaneously providing a possible avenue to explain his fear. Is it, perhaps, because he ate of the fruit of the tree? But not the accusatory. You ate of the fruit and consequently you're scared. That didn't happen. Udom responds by shifting accountability. We may recognize that he is too vulnerable to assume responsibility. Therefore, it is futile pushing the point any further. At this point, we introduce rationalization, another defense mechanism. That involves, if we explain it clinically, explaining an unacceptable behavior or feeling in a rational or logical manner, avoiding the true reasons for the behavior. It also helps to protect self-esteem. Therefore, the Eibishter promptly moves on to address Chavo, asking her, Mazoi Susis, she too resorts to rationalization. The snake deceived me and I ate. I always smile when I remember a thought following the complete collapse of Udom's pedestal in Gan Eden and his consequent expulsion. It goes a little bit with our introduction of Mutzo and Moitzo. Our expectation, especially marriage counselors, following the curses showered on mankind, is to await the first lambasting comment of the husband to his wife. So Udo might say to Chavo, what in heaven's name have you done? You have just brought death and mortality to the entire universe. But in contrast, not a word was mentioned by Udom to his wife. Instead, he encouraged, boosted, and named her Eim L'chol Chai, and he called her Chavo, the mother of all living. Even the word Ayeko has a profound meaning. Probing and confronting. Where are you really in your world and in your life? With Udo Marishan's response, the Kotzke Rebbe picks up its depth with He nosnu li min hu eitz vu oichel. Of course it can be translated, and I ate, but it can also be explained in the future tense. Vu oichel, and I will eat. The Medrash adds to this, yes, uchalti v'oichel oy. It was precisely that open-ended invitation of Ayeko, where you can read, where you are you really ready to embrace a cognitive state of awareness, which brought about the honest, candid, and brutally truthful answer of Udo. Vu oichel, yes. Given the chance, I commit this sin all over again. The lesson is repeated again with Cain. Again, a seemingly rhetorical question. Ay hevel uchicho. Where is Hevel, your brother? The Eibishter knows where Hevel is. He's just been murdered. Here we introduce another defense mechanism. Denial. When a person seems unable to face reality or admit an obvious truth, i.e. people say, he's in denial. It is an outright refusal to admit or recognize that something has occurred. Hence, Cain's response was, Lo yudati. I don't know. In Parshas Noach, we move on, the raven circles the taiva, unwilling to fulfill its mission. Do you know why? Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chelek, Shehoyu choshtoy al bas zugoy. Not less that the raven suspected Noach of having promiscuous intentions towards Mrs. Raven. This question was posed to Rav Wolfson in Yeshivas Or Sumeach by a student who saw this Rashi as patently ludicrous. We will explain his answer using the term of projection. This another, again, is a defense mechanism that involves taking our own unacceptable qualities or feelings and ascribing them by projection to other people. The raven, the dog, and Chom ben Noach were all guilty of cohabiting during the Mabul in the table. In defiance of the Eibishter's explicit instructions to abstain and to empathize with the pain of that generation. The Torah is not teaching us zoological insights or ornithology. Rather, an insight into man. A simple mushel, a soldier, has an officer in command and says to him, I want you to penetrate enemy area cross and I want you to find out and suss out what the situation is strategically, etc. And of course going into enemy territory is a very, very precarious job. The soldier can take one of two deductions. Either the officer in command understands that I am the sharpest, most intelligent, the greatest acumen, fastest reactions, and I'm probably the best man for the job, and that's why he's chosen me. Or B, he hates my guts. And this would be the simplest way of him getting rid of me, of Akusha and Oifem. You send me in, 98% chance I'll get killed. And that's the way of doing it. Simple as that. Number one would be an objective way from a person with a healthy ego. Number two would be somebody who is paranoid. The raven's perception was indeed ridiculous. However, when one is egocentric to the point of paranoia, one can think along these ludicrous thoughts. The guilty raven projected his conscious and egocentricity onto Noach. The Torah illustrates questions that do not beckon answers. If we listen carefully, they are really statements. In this week's Seder, we're moving on from Noach to Lech Lecho now. Paroi, after abducting Avram's wife, asks him three things. One, Mazois Osisuli. Two, Lomu lo yigadatu, Li ki ishtechuhi. Three, Lomu omarto achoisihi. Not a word of response is given by Avon, who realizes that these are once again clearly projections. What did you do to me? It was you, Paroi, who attempted to molest my wife. Who is the victim? Let's clarify in this instance. Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? The Medrash tells us clearly that, I saw this morning in the Cheskuni, by the way, as well, that Sarah informed Paroi that she was an Esh Hashish. There was no doubt about it. He was unreceptive, and of course, Avram said that it was his sister to save his life. Egypt was a dangerous country for beautiful women. And that is why Paroi ceremoniously kicked them both out immediately. The methodology gleaned is when the defense mechanism of rationalization is displayed, Avram did not try to answer the questions logically. Paroi was venting, projecting his anger and his sense of guilt. We note in strong contrast, moving on to Parshas Vayero, when Avimelech abducted Tzur, and he too rebuked Avram indignantly, saying, Me osiso lonu, what have you done to us? Projection, once again. It was Avimelech, in fact, who nearly molested Tzur. In this case, Avram responded due to three extra words. Avimelech said, Ume chotosi loch. In which way did I sin towards you? When there's a hint of remorse, and it's evident, then the question ceases to be rhetorical. And therefore, in this instance, Avram responded, Hold on, ki umarti. I had to act in self-defense. Let's move on. This actually belongs to this week's Seder, so we'll go shift back. We said it's to do with insights and safer Bereshis, so forgive me if it's not quite in order. This, incidentally, is something which was alluded to by Pinya Breuer, Rav Harav Pinya Breuer, a long, long time ago, 10 years ago, but it was a thought which I now used in this particular context. Vayikru es loit ve'es rechushoi ben achi avuam vayelechu. Listen to the way the pusik is worded. Vayikru es loit, they took loit ve'es rechushoi and his fortune ben achi avuam. He was the nephew of avuam. Now, when you're giving somebody's linealogy, normally the Torah would explain it. Vayikris loy ben achi avron. And then you'd say, ve'es rechushoy. You're describing firstly the person and then afterwards what they took. But here it's all over the place, a little discombobulated. So we describe this as a psychological identity. This relates to the self-image, one's mental model of oneself, and self-perception of a person's own individuality. But in the case of a greedy, avaricious man, his wealth is him and his psychological identity. So therefore, it's the sequence of the Pusik, it's strange. No, the money was not an appendage. It was the essence of Lloyd. And the Torah describes his perceived identity. Vayikru es Lloyd. Who was Lloyd? Ve'es rechushoy. Lloyd's money. That was Lloyd. He happened to be as well. Ben Achi Avraham. He happened to be Avraham Avinu's nephew. So the Torah stresses that. And because it was Midah Keneged Midah, the money which he had was why the reason that he joined Stom in the first instance, and now it was taken away. Although the theme of the Shia is not chinuch, and it's not chinuch orientated, nonetheless, the ideas of mixed messages are apparent in this week's Seder. Rashi cites regarding Hugo, who was the Shifcho Mitzris, the Egyptian maidservant who worked for Sarai. She was no less than the daughter of King Pare. Now the king's logic in making the princess into a charwoman was Mutav shetehei biti Shifcho bevaizeh veloy geviro bevaiz acha. It's better for my daughter, she should be a maidservant in Avraham and Sura's house and not an aristocrat in another mansion. And therefore he sent her to work for Avraham and Sura. Now, we just learned that Pare was a wicked lecher. He willingly abducted Sura for his own gratification. Don't do what I do. Do what I say. This was the message that he imparted to his daughter by sending her away as Sura's maidservant. In the end, the project was futile, as Hagar indeed fled Avraham's home. It didn't work. Now, one stage deeper. In psychological terms, narcissistic parenting adversely affects the development of children, affecting their reasoning. It's a proven quantum. And their emotional, ethical behaviors, attitudes, and choices. I was zoche to hear from the Bais Yisrael, Yisrael Lerucha, the following insight. When Hagar fled, she was found by a malach at the Ein Hamayim, at the spring of water. The malach asked her, Eimi ze boz, v'ono selechi. From where have you come? And where are you going? Hagar's reply, Mipnei suru gevirti unoichi boirachas. I am fleeing suru, my mistress. So the Bais Yisrael said, two questions were asked. He said, Eimi ze boz ve'ono selechi. But only one was answered. But of equal importance, not only where have you come from, and Hagar's reply was, Mipnei suru gevirti unoichi boirachas. So he said, of equal importance is where are you going? Consequently, the Malach Hashem answered and told her, Shivi el gevirtech v'is ani tachas yudeo. Return to Suro and submit yourself to her domination. Because aimlessness is the worst. As you have no sense of direction and you don't know where you're going, you'll be better off returning to where you came from. This inability to reach a decision and reasoning might have been a consequence of the mixed messages she had received from King Paroi, her father. In contrast, in next week's Seder, in Vayayro, Avraham Avinu fulfills the mitzvah, the famous Hachnusas Ochem, with his three guests. What does the Pusik say? V'el habuka rotz Avraham. V'yikach ben buka rach futoiv v'yitein el hana v'yemahe lasois oisoi. He had the calves and he took the tongues and he gave them afterwards to the na. We know the na is, of course, Yishmuel. Vayemahe is referring to Yishmuel, push pshat, lasos oisoi, that he went and he rushed with alacrity to prepare the meat for the guests. Who ran all the way from Eloine Mamre to Chevron to chase after the calf which escaped, and he went all the way after it, as it's brought down in Rishonim? Avraham. Who selected the finest, most expensive piece of tongue and shechted the animals in preparation? A sick, old, weak man of 99 years old. Which part does he designate to his son to do? Yishmuel, and ask him to help him with? Vayiten el hana vayemahe la'asos oisoi. The preparation. You can ask any housewife, and she'll tell you that the easiest piece of meat to cook is the tongue. Check with your wife. This is a different league of chinuch. I'm imparting the concept of achnusas ochem, but not avoiding the nitty-gritty work. Kedei lezarzoi b'mitzvahs. Lezarzoi means to give him the desire for alacrity towards mitzvahs, not dumping the nitty-gritty work onto him. I invite you, my child, to share the enthusiasm for such a precious mitzvah. But don't say, here you are, get on with it. It appears by the it appears by the importance attached to hospitality by the Arabs that this message might have in fact been internalized for generations. Let me share a story with you. But before I do so, I wish to explain one more concept. This is called projective identification. It's described as the unconscious act of attributing something, either positive or negative, inside oneself onto someone else, and the recipient, they eventually assume this identity. And it's a two-way process. I'll give you a simple mushel. Essentially, if you've got a man who's the MI5 have decided that he's a dangerous spy, but they got the wrong man. But in the meantime, to indict him, they've put plainclothes policemen outside his home in his office on the way to the tube station. Wherever he goes, they've got somebody watching him, what he's doing, where he's going. This man is noticing that wherever he's going, people are just looking at him. Where he arrives, when he leaves, he can't make heads to it. He certainly feels persecuted. And it comes a stage where this man, who is innocent, starts to look over his shoulder. And he starts to look to see whether there are people in plain clothes who are keeping an eye, a beady eye on him. So this is what we call projective identification. This man has assumed the identity of a spy, although he's not, because of the projections that have happened from outside people who have made him feel that way about himself, an identity which he now assumes. That's the... It's a Melanie Klein, and there's four Mahalchem in that, but I'm not going to go into the technical side of it. I'll just tell you the following story. About Tfilin Ger, who is Rab Shaul Berzhikovsky. He had a mother called Miriam, who was the granddaughter of Moshe Bezalel Alter, brother of the Imre Emes. She looked after the present Gerer Rebbe when he traveled as a child to Eretz Yisrael from Poland. They reached Palestine in 1940. And they lived in an area called Mekor Baruch, together with her great uncle, the Heilige Imre Emes. Miriam was then 18 when they reached Yerushalayim, and she was a beautiful girl. On an errand for the family when they needed some medicaments, she was sent into the old city. She was unfamiliar with the streets and she lost her way in the dark. Lost and unable to get back, she encountered a lechinik, somebody who was associated with the lechi. And whoever knows the history knows that these guys were in what was considered a very dangerous area. She turned to him for assistance to find her way home. He looked at her jeeringly and he said to her in Yiddish, "Was ich kam eure für mir? Not scared of me? A young pretty girl like you in these perilous times?" She looked at him directly, saying, "Du bist doch ein Mensch, nein? You are still a human being." There was a palpable silence for a minute until he said, "Komm mit mir." And he personally escorted her all the way home. Shaken, she entered the Rebbe's room and related the entire saga. The Rebbe listened carefully and then exclaimed, "Wenn dir hast ein geriefen, ein Mensch, hast du ihn gemacht, fahrer Mensch. When you titled him as a human being, you de facto created a human being." This epitomizes projective identification. And the Rebbe intuitively perceived this. So to summarize, the Torah is the source of all. Predating the ideas before the world was created, the science of psychotherapy is less than 150 years old. It's important to remind ourselves that the Sefer Bereishis is not a storybook, but letter by letter imparts profound messages of great depth that are eternally applicable. We mentioned counseling as in helping a person change. This was illustrated by the Ribbono Shel Olam in Ayeko, recognizing the vulnerability of Vo'iro, Haminu Eitza Shetzevisicho, in question, but not in accusation. We introduced rationalization, another defense mechanism. When the Eibishter asked Udam and Chava respectively, and each failed to assume accountability. Confrontation, resulting in he nosnoli minhu eitz vo'oichal, and helping Udom recognizing the brutal truth of uchalti vo'oichel oid, given the chance I would even do it again. Denial, in Cain's response, lo yodati. Projection, with the raven, shehoyuchoshtoi al bas zugoi. Statements that mask themselves as questions which are really projections. Paroi abducting Avrom's wife and then hurling accusations at Avrom. Ma'azoi sosi soli. And Avrom's response of silence to rhetorical questions that accuse but do not seek answers. The psychological identity of Lot, who the Torah describes as Loit ve'es rechushoi ben achi Avrom, which I said I heard in a slightly different context from Rabbi Yibroi. Mixed messages and the effect on Hugo, fleeing Avrom's house. Narcissistic parenting affecting the reasoning of children as mipnei soro gevilti unochi borachas. And the contrast of genuine, meaningful parenting, e.g. Avrom towards Yishmuel, vayiten el hana vayemahe la'asois oisoi. And finally, we mentioned projective identification in the story of Miriam Alter with the Lechinik, who was recreated as a mensch. This is just a drop in the ocean of lessons to be gleaned. We have not even scratched the surface. Yaakov, Esav, Yosef, his brothers, which are equally loaded with similar insights. Hafochbo, v'hafochbo, to kulomo. Thank you.